Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry, I'm not on the internet tonight. I don't have access to all those wonderful little opening music and then the dulcet tones of Mr. Chief Iggy telling you all about with InsightsRadio.com. So you just have to put up with me. This is Mudtoe Sasquatch. My program is The Uncommon Shaman. Thank you for joining me this evening. This is not a day to talk about a certain movie that I promised I wouldn't talk about. Not that I have any particular, I don't know, because since I haven't seen it, I don't have any reason to particularly dislike it. It's just there's an icon of my childhood involved, which I don't like seeing pushed aside. So I'm just going to ignore it, and I'm not going to talk about it at all, and that's it. Unfortunately, I have a theme already in place for tonight's show. Oops, one second here, excuse me. It is Shaman Tarot Day here at the Uncommon Shaman. Actually, I had an idea for this. Didn't have time to get it together for this month, but next month I'll be doing Shaman Tarot. We always do it on the third Thursday of the month. So I'll be doing it on January the 20th, and there's some event happening on that day, as I recall, something of some significance is occurring on January the 20th, something that I will be able to do a nice tarot reading on, I think. But don't have that yet, but what I want to do for that next reading, I want to put a camera on it and then post the video on my Facebook page, because I find, you know, I'm trying to describe what the Shaman Tarot layout looks like, and I don't think it comes over very well. I'd really like you to be able to see it. So I'm working out how I can have a camera. So I have a very nice camera on my on my laptop, but it becomes a problem, you know, turning the laptop so you can shoot down on top of the cards that are laying on the table. So I'm going to dust off one of my old video cameras, and it's interesting because those old video cameras that I was so proud of 12, 13 years ago when I bought them, my laptop, built-in laptop camera, creates a much better picture than those cameras did. But it doesn't need to be the greatest picture in the world, just enough so that you can see the artwork and the way the layout works and so forth. So you can look forward to that on January 20th, Shaman Tarot reading about the big event that happens on that day. And, you know, where we go going forward. And then also later on Mudtoe Sasquatch, the Facebook page, you will, if all goes well, you will be able to see the layout and the cards with your own two eyes and maybe make some of your own judgments. You won't have to rely upon me to tell you what those cards look like. And because I feel like the art on the cards is a big part of the reading. So we're going to do this. I do not have my standard tarot book with me. Unfortunately, I neglected to bring that with me, but I do have the Shaman Tarot layout, and this is the Shaman Tarot deck. I'll just go through this again for those of you who haven't heard it. It was presented to me as a gift by Chief Iggy as a means for me to develop my reading skills. It was created by Massimiliano Filadoro, and he has created a number of different tarot decks with different themes, and it's a standard tarot deck. They just remove the traditional names and symbols and replace them with, in this case, shamanic names and symbols. So usually I have Mr. Filadoro's interpretations and also a standard deck that I can go and, you know, what does the standard equivalent tarot card, or what that would be, SETC, standard equivalent tarot card. What would it say? But don't have that resource today, so we're just going to have to wing it. If I were any kind of real tarot reader, I would have memorized them by now, but obviously I have not. I can already see the first problem I'm going to have. I'm going to have to walk over here and turn on the overhead light, because the little evening lamp that I'm using is just not going to cut it with these old eyes trying to read this tiny little tarot book. So before you all arrived, I dealt out the 9-card layout. You deal one card for each corner of the medicine wheel, starting with west, then north, east, and south. Then you do that again around the outside, so that's 8 cards, and then a center card, center self card, in the middle for 9. That is a recent addition, so this is kind of Shaman Tarot 2.0 we're working on now. So I'm going to look at the 2 cards on the west door, turn them up, and I've got the, looks like the Knight of Stones, and number 10 from the Major Arcana. Or Arcana. I've never actually heard that word pronounced, so I don't know whether it's supposed to be Arcana or Arcana. The Knight of Stones has a picture of a lady with blue hair, and she's riding a dolphin. They're out in the water, obviously, and some, I guess, threatening-looking skies. They're kind of purple and red clouds. And it doesn't look like it's all that nice, but she looks like she's having a good time. And the dolphin looks like he's having a good time. So there's that one. And then we also got number 10, and that is, looks like it's a gentleman in native dress, in a desert landscape, and he's looking up into the clouds where there is a drum and a couple of faces in the clouds decorated in pinks and grays and so forth. So we're out in the desert with a big drum, or maybe it's a shield. That could be a shield and not a drum. Let's see what the card actually is, though. And then the West is seeks counsel. So we've got the Knight, or sometimes they call it Knave of Stones. We'll find that one. And that was the one that was on the outside, by the way. I haven't decided whether or what significance that has. Okay, the Knight of Stones is the ally of the water, which makes sense because they're in the water. A capacity to dream that can liberate the spirit or lose it amidst useless reveries. Let's go over that again. A capacity to dream that can liberate the spirit or lose it amid useless reveries. So the dream can be useful or it can be a distraction. And now let's look at number 10. Is the drum of the spirit. So it is a drum. The voice of the gods, the thunder that announces creation, the beginning of a new cycle, the call of destiny. So, dreams and something calling you. From Seek's Council. I would kind of like to hear somebody calling me, actually. This is the, still waiting on some more definitive word from these people who contacted me about teaching in China. And made a video for them and sent it off, and I haven't heard anything more from them since, so I don't know. I mean, I have noticed that things do move slowly with them, so I don't know. You know, I've been puzzling whether should I get in contact with them again, ask them something else I should be doing. So I guess that might be my Seeks Counsel question, and so what's coming back? The beginning of a new cycle, the call of destiny. So is that possibly a sign that patience perhaps is required? So no, let's move on. Let's go back to the north, and the north is heavenly beings and spirits. And in the heavenly beings and spirits door, I have the 2 of stones and the 8 of bows. The 2 of stones is a woman and a man on a grassy plain, and she's got some, eventually she's doing some work on him. She's got some stones laid out over his chest. And he looks like he's resting comfortably. That's a nice sort of pastoral scene, so that's cool. They are not in, I would not call that native dress. It looks like more, I don't know, she's got kind of a blue dress on, and he's wearing work pants, I guess, and a belt. She's got a blue bird, and not a blue, like a, it might not be a parrot. It looks kind of like a parrot to me, but it might be some other sort of bird of the same ilk. Wearing lots of bracelets, too. She's got very red hair, almost orange hair. So you put all those things together into whatever you want to put them into. The other card, the 8 of bows, is almost an opposite of that. There's a man who's helping another man, and they're dressed archaically. The one man seems to be stricken, and the other one is helping him. And there's a looks like a hawk of some kind flying in behind them to help them. So those cards sort of, you know, when there's one, well, they're both being, both of one figure helping another figure, but one of them seems to be going pretty well, and the other one doesn't seem to be going so well. So let's go back to, let's find our Two of Stones. Where are you, Stones? Isn't this a pain, just waiting for me to flip through the pages? There's the drums, there's the bows, there's the bones, there's the stones. Two of Stones. Harmony. Each healing has love as its nucleus. Attraction, feelings expressed with sincerity. Okay. Then we go to the opposite one, the kind of negative looking one, is the Eight of Bows. It is meeting with the spirits. Arcane comprehension, strange intuitions we somehow sense but are not capable of understanding them completely. Desire for movement, both physical and mental. I'm getting some hit for myself there, both on strange intuitions that we somehow sense but are not capable of understanding them completely, again, as means this big movement I'm contemplating. And then, where is it? I lost it. Desire for movement, both physical and mental. So, how does that hook up with the first one? I don't know. Am I supposed to know? Well, beginning of a new cycle, and then a desire for movement, I guess those kind of hook up together. So, I guess Sieg's Council is coming back with some kind of new cycle, and then the heavenly beings and spirits are coming back with this sort of related thing, but not, you know, desire for movement. I guess that could be related. You could pull those two together, I think. New cycle and desire for movement, maybe. It's still kind of disturbing to me that those two cards are so opposite in their intention. I mean, the one having such a, where the help is a pleasant kind of help, and the other one's sort of a disturbed kind of help, you know, like the kind of help that's an emergency kind of help. So, is it something this new cycle could go one way or the other, depending on what? Let's look at the next one, because the next is the east door. That's the sea's far door. We got two. I'm sort of reading these cards because I couldn't make a decision on whether there was some sort of significance, whether a card came on the inside or on the outside. So now I'm just not worrying about it. I'm turning up both cards from each door at the same time. And I've seen this fellow here. Well, I've got two that are gentlemen sitting in meditation. I've got, this is the King of Stones, and he's sitting on a big old turtle in ancient dress and having a nice time. And then there's the second one, a gentleman, he's in meditation. He's floating above a stack of balanced stones, as you often see in the desert. And he looks like he's in communication with something that's above him, and there are stones floating around him as well. And this is the Nine of Stones. So we got two stones. Two stones. It should make it much easier to find, shouldn't it? Because they would both be in the same place. And the stones are about, I can just put it, the stones are the element of water. They correspond to cups in the traditional tarot. This suit includes the experience of healing. Healing is the fruit of the shaman's return, or the spiritual harmony that middle world gains. I'm not sure about what middle world refers to. It's more like a, sounds like a Lord of the Rings. But anyway, let's hop up to stones again. We had, the first one I mentioned was the King. King is the spirit of the pure waters, a jovial man with an innate talent for business and opportunities, unorthodox ideas, negotiations. Again, just to pull out one idea, moving to a communist country that we're having arguments with right now might be considered an unorthodox idea. I know my parents would certainly think of it that way. But how could a nice old gentleman sitting on a turtle have such a lousy idea like that? Let's go to, unless, of course, it's not lousy. Let's look at the Nine of Stones. Equilibrium achieved. True harmony is the balance between us, our surroundings, and the earth itself. Physical and spiritual well-being, wise counsel. So if that's the Seas Far card, then that's the result of all of this. We have maybe a weird idea and some harmony coming out of it as well. So there's a conflict. Heavenly beings and spirits seem to see this conflict. I don't know it's a conflict. It's just I've got the conflict in imagery. It's showing me the same thing, but sort of in two different ways. This can be a nice thing, or it can be kind of a nasty thing. But at the end of it is serenity that comes through maybe a kind of a strange idea. Maybe, if you don't think about it. Let's look at the looks within the south door. And here we've got, oh my, the Six of Bows. There's some gentlemen, two of them in native dress, one of them in modern dress. They're in a boat, but the boat is floating over a city. It's floating in the air over the skyscrapers. One of them looks strangely like the Chrysler Building. There's an airplane in the sky. The sky is yellow with black clouds in it. And there are birds flying around the boat. So one guy in modern dress, two guys in native dress, having a boat ride in the sky over the city. That is the Six of Bows. And let's see what we got here. What are we doing with the Six of Bows? We've got the Ally. Harmony with the strength of one's subconscious. Support, social visibility, deserved rewards. This is coming in the looks within spot. Interesting. We've also got the 12. And the 12 is initiation, the sacrifice of a part of oneself. Read that again. The sacrifice of a part of oneself in favor of the world of the spirits. Necessary moments of pause, reflection, a new vision of things. So, tie that up with, what was the other one? Six of Bows. I really should be taking notes. That's drums. Six of Bows. The canon spirit. The cause of the spirit. The canoe of the spirits. Physical and mental voyage. Is that the same thing I read before? Did I read the wrong one? Bows 6 should be the canoe of the spirits. Physical and mental voyage. Overcoming of a mental blocks. A desire to evade, even if only with the imagination. Okay, let's think of that one a little bit now. The canoe, which one did I read before? Because that was not... Oh, well. This is the number 6, is the canoe of the spirits. Physical and mental voyage, overcoming of emotional blocks, a desire to evade, even if only with the imagination. Well, I mean, physical and mental voyage certainly checks with what we've been talking about. Overcoming of emotional blocks certainly does. I mean, not knowing what to do, how to proceed. A desire to evade. Is this evade perhaps the decision? As long as this continues to drag out, I don't get any more information about the opportunity, that I don't ever have to make the decision. You think? And that putting together the sacrificing of a part of oneself in favor of the world of the spirits, necessary moments of pause, reflection, or a new vision of things. Let's talk about a turning around of the way I think about things. Maybe that ties in with everything we've talked about so far. And finally, looking at, oh my, here is, thinking this is the Queen of Drums, and she is sitting with a mama bear on one side of her and a baby bear on the other side of her. She's in native dress. And they're just looking like they look perfectly together. She looks very fierce. And so this would be, I'm guessing, the Queen of Drums. Mother Bear, a person who loves simple things, protection, jealousy, and excessive caution. Now, geez, I'm not about excessive caution at all, am I? But let's not just jump to that part. Let's go through a person who loves simple things, protection, jealousy, I'm all about jealousy too, and excessive caution. Is that the part, since that's the center self card, is that the part of me that's fighting against all the rest of this? What do you think? How many different ways are there to interpret a particular tarot lineup? It's very intuitive. It's meant to be anyway. And I know people work a long time, and, you know, no offense is meant by me kind of, you know, playing around at this. But I do enjoy it. I enjoy the cards. I enjoy the artwork. I think that's probably the most thing about it. The thing I seem to get the most out of is the artwork. It's what seems to speak to me more than anything else are the images on the cards and the fact that, you know, sometimes they're native images, sometimes they're modern images. You know, and why do you choose one over the other, and how does that choice affect the reading that you're making? It's pretty cool. And then sometimes I get wrapped up and I forget to talk. Now, I have never done this layout reading for someone else. I've only ever really done it on the show. I don't think I've ever done it anywhere other than on the show. And just, I'll either pick a topic or I'll just let it be free form. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I did answer some phone calls and I pulled a card for them. But that's, you know, just like one card. I didn't do the full reading. I don't feel competent to do it for somebody else. You know, I feel like, what if my answer is wrong? And what if, based on what I say, someone goes off and you know, makes a choice or does something and it doesn't work out on them, doesn't work out for them? I'm fearful of that, even on the little one card things. You sit them down, and talk with them for half an hour on a whole layout of cards. I don't feel prepared to take on that responsibility, particularly since I haven't ever really sat down with someone who reads. I've had my tarot read before, but I've never sat down with someone who reads tarot and talked with them about, you know, how a reading is done. You know, where does one take their cues from? Does that work? Where does one take their cues from? From where does one take one's cue? That doesn't really seem right either. Where do the cues come from? How do I decide what's important and what's not important? I just don't feel confident in making those kinds of choices for someone else. Iggy and some of the others, Two Crows and Adriana, and some of our other associates often get together. Well, on Mondays they get together for Iggy's radio show, and then other times they do readings. And I said, you know, jealousy is part of my essence, and I'm always jealous of the ease with which the readings just come tripping off of their tongues. And I never, you know, it doesn't. It's not, I want to say it's not a skill that I possess. That's probably not accurate. It's not a skill that I have cultivated. And we saw the whole show is one long sentence. I connected them all with "and." I don't think I have any lack of self-awareness, but I have a lot of fearfulness. See, those two things are often connected, a lack of fearfulness and a lack of self-awareness, which what you're afraid of is yourself and what you might do yourself. I don't think I lack self-awareness, but I guess maybe I'm fearful of myself because I know what I am capable of doing. Or I don't know, maybe I fear that I'm capable of doing, you know, more harm than good. I don't know where this thread is taking me to. Mr. Spirit, please find. I'm sort of digging a hole for myself here. Can you find me? Give me a shovel. Help me dig myself out. I don't know if anybody out there felt any hit from that reading, because I'm only going by what jumped off the page at me. You know, the biggest thing in my life right now is this this potential move. And I look everywhere for signs. I look, you know, in the faces of others, like, the British writer. He wrote a picture of Dorian Gray. It's not Oscar Wilde, is it? Is Oscar Wilde that wrote that? Maybe it was. I don't know. Who wrote the picture of Dorian Gray? Of course, I'm not hooked up to the internet, so I can't look it up. But anyway, he said the only, you know, glimpses of the future that he'd ever known were seen in men's faces. So, what do you read? Read the future in that, or a tarot card, or leaves at the bottom of a teacup. The future is always a blank page for me. And whether I'm advising someone else or trying to make up my mind for myself, because I've made so many poor choices in my life, I really, really, really do not trust my own decision-making. Even if I am older and wiser than I once was, I still get into plenty of trouble. I get into about as much trouble as my limited financial means will allow. How do I know? How do I trust whether my choice to get on that plane is the right one or not? I look for signs. That's what I started to say, and I got sidetracked on that Oscar Wilde thing. Signs in nature. It's a little harder now as the weather gets colder. You can't get out of nature for too terribly long. You get out into nature, and then you pop back in and warm up for a while. I will be able to look for signs in my daughter's face and my granddaughter's face this weekend. They're coming over for our Christmas celebration, because they won't be able to have so many. There are so many exes and ex-families involved that needed to be a schedule put forth for when and whom they were visiting when, and we kind of got, I don't want to say shuffled to them. It's not, I mean, the day is the day, and frankly, I'd rather have them here on their own day rather than on a day when the whole family has crowded over here for Christmas. So it all works out. But I see in them the only definite good that has come out of my life. And there are some other things. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not a homunculus or anything. I'm just, and there are things that, you know, mixtures of good and bad that have come out of things that I have done. The one bit of absolute good is, you know, I helped create a daughter, and then through her, a granddaughter, who are, you know, pretty cool. They're pretty cool, and it's nice to see them. Give them Christmas presents. I got, don't tell her. She doesn't listen to the show, so I can tell her. But she has my daughter, I got her a very unique-looking dream catcher, sort of hanging thing, which was like four things hanging off the four corners, and then a globe with a wolf in it. It's kind of nice. And then I got my granddaughter a wall hanging with dancing elephants on it, sort of an East Indian design, which she'll probably use that as a blanket or a cape. That's fine. She can use it for whatever she wants. And then that will be stage one, and then Christmas day two will take place about a week later. So hoping all of you, and whatever your chosen holiday celebration, which it could also be none, but whatever you're doing, I wish you all the best, and please come back next week, and I'll be rambling at you a little more. Thanks for listening, and have a pleasant good evening.